Thank you, Brother Dan. Good evening, and God bless you, my brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope you will forgive me for the sound of my voice. It don't sound right to me at any time anymore because my hearing aids transform it into something that it likes better than my own voice. But I do greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I hope to bring to you tonight hope in the Lord. As Brother Jan just mentioned, this is probably the last sermon in this chapel in the year of 2017. And as we come to this close of this year, we look forward to 2018. I cannot tell you what 2018 is going to bring, but I'm sure that it's going to be full of God's blessings and His promises to us. But I would like to start with the use of John 3:16. It's not the thought that we usually get out of that, that God just give us salvation, but the thought that it's what it requires of us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that on whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth in Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds are made manifest, that they might be wrought in God. If we would turn to the 60th chapter of Isaiah, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall be covered the earth, and gross darkness to people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about thee, and gather thyself together, that they shall be thy sons, and shall come from afar. I think I started at 60, and I just started at 61. I knew that wasn't. All right, let's start with the first verse of chapter 61 of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to them that to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and oil for joy for mourning, the garment of praise from the spirit of heaviness, and they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, the mighty, the might, and the glorified. And they shall build up the old wastes, and they shall rise up in former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. And the stranger shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your wildernesses. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double for your confusion, and they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, even everlasting shall joy be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment, and I hate robbery, for burnt offerings. And I will direct your work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offerings among the people. All that see they shall acknowledge them. And they that are the seed of the Lord hath blessed, seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul's, excuse me. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall rejoice in my God. And he hath clothed me with his garments of salvation. He hath covered me with robes of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden bringeth, seed to the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. I think we're well aware that this writing is speaking of the house of Israel. But what precedes this 61st chapter of Isaiah is what I want to bring us up, go back and bring us up to that date, starting with chapter 50. I'm not going to read straight through all those chapters, but I want to pick out a few little things that might help us to find out where we are and what we might expect, not only in 2018, but in the near future, because it's pretty much established, I think, in most of our minds that we are living in the last days, the days of judgment of God. Chapter 50, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Whom have I put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. For when I came, was there no man when I called, and was there none to answer? In my land, is my land shortened as all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, and their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak the word in season to him that is weary, and he waketh morning by morning, and waketh in my ear to hear as he learned. Here he's explaining that he has divorced, God has divorced the house of Israel because of their iniquities and because of their transgressions. We'll turn to 52. I think I'll start at 17 here and... No.
Looking for 51:17.
I think let's start with chapter with verse 11. Depart ye, go out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor with flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the Lord God of Israel will be your rearward. Will my servant shall deal prudently, and he shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. As many were as a stone that his visage was so marred, more than any man, and more than the sons of man. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him, and that which they have not been told they shall see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. Now go to 58. There's a lot in there, the others we might read, but we won't take the time to do that. Starting with verse 9 here. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching their God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Because in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it such a fast as I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is not to bow down his head with bulrushes, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a day of fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, and to do the heavy burdens, and let thy oppressors go free, and ye break every yoke? Is not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou shalt bring thy poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou shalt cover him, that thou shalt hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as a morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of the yoke of putting forth thy finger and the speaking of vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise as out of obscurity, and thy darkness as a noonday. I think that perhaps we cannot just point this reading to the house of Israel, though that's what it was written to, but we need to take it to heart ourselves, that we need to come to God in our proper attitude. As I said, this is the fast as I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul and to bow down with his head with bulrushes and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will thou call this the day of the fast? But it's a day when we should be deal justly one with another and to seek God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. If we go to chapter 59, and here we're going to start at chapter 1, verse 1 rather. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers have with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for the truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies, and they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Thou hast cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and he which is crushed breaketh out as a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of vengeance in their hands. Their feet run for to evil, and they make haste to shed their innocent blood. And their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting the destruction, yea, in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their doings. They have made themselves crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but behold we walk in darkness. I don't think we can blame Israel for the only ones that are following these things, because it seems to be the way of the world today. I want to go back now to chapter 55. Starting with verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my ways than your ways, your thoughts. For as rain cometh down from and the snow from the heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. I think it's quite evident that God's ways are higher than our ways, and it's sometimes hard for us to understand just wherein we lack. Though, as I said, this is written by inspiration by Isaiah to the house of Israel, and giving them the reason for which he has divorced those nations. It is also a warning to us. As the Book of Mormon says, if the Gentiles will repent, they will be numbered with the house of Israel. But if they do not repent, they'll be cast off. We might go to Matthew for just a moment now, and also Luke 21, Matthew 24, Luke 21. No, we don't want to talk to or cause despair or cause us to think that there is no blessing of the Lord upon us today. But we ought to realize, and I think we do, that we are living in the last days, a day when God will pour out his indignation upon the world because of their iniquities, because they have turned to unrighteousness, because they have denied their God of heaven. In 24th chapter of Matthew, starting at 21, it says that I'll start with what brought this reading on, that as Christ was coming out of the temple, he was talking to his apostles, and he said that there will come a day when this temple will not be standing, but one stone upon the other. And so they asked him, when will these things be? And when will it be the end of the world? And so he told them that when we see wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, because that's just the beginning of sorrows. Well, I think we are well aware that we are hear of wars and rumors of wars, contentions and things in not only our own land, but the lands of the world that have caused a lot of bloodshed and sorrow. But in verse 21 said, and after these things, it said, and then shall great tribulation, such as was not known since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, we think that we have many tribulations and troubles at this time, but he's indication here that they're going to get worse than ever before. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. I'm reminded when they talk about no flesh being saved is what happened to the house of the people of Jared in the land when they came here in to about 2000 B.C. They lived in peace, but they were told that this was a land of promise, and that any people who lived here must serve the God of this land, or when they ripened in iniquity, they'd be swept off. They divided and they subdivided into divisions, and they had robbers and all kinds of contentions and strifes, and they had war between themselves, and they killed each other off, every last one down to one man, one of the kings, Coriantumr, who survived that catastrophe, and he lived to be the people of Messiah in about 500 B.C. before he passed away. It was also said that, written there, that God allowed them to destroy themselves so that this land could be a land free from anything that would distract them from righteousness. And so he purified the land by allowing them to destroy themselves. And so Nephi, or the seed of Lehi, took over the land, and they prospered, and they divided and subdivided and warred one with another. Going on a little bit more, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. And then he goes in to tell them there that if somebody says Christ is in the mountains, don't go there. Or if he's in the wilderness, don't go there. Because when he comes, he'll come like a lighting out of the east and shine even to the west and be easy to see. And so God is not going to hide himself, or Christ is not going to hide himself as he comes in the last days, but he's going to be where everybody could see him. And in Luke it says that when you see these things, he didn't say despair and give up. He said to lift up your head and rejoice, for you know that the hour of redemption is cometh. I would like to turn now to the Book of Mormon for a moment to give us a little idea what is just ahead of us. You know, we hear a lot of things and we don't really know what tomorrow is going to bring. We do not know what's going to be in 2018. At least I don't. But I do expect to see many of the blessings of God in whichever way he decides to give them to us. In the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi, It says, "And my people who are the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who if he go through both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. His hand shall be lifted upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee. I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities out of thy hands, and throw down all thy strongholds. I will cut out all witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images was also cut off, and thy stammering images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt have no more worship the works of thy hands. Now pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy cities. It shall come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. It shall come to pass, saith the Father, at that day that whosoever shall not repent and come unto my beloved Son, then will I cut off among my people, O house of Israel, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have never heard." And going into the 10th chapter, it says, "But if they will repent and hearken unto my word, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant and be numbered among the house of remnant of Jacob, and to whom I have given this land for their inheritance. And it shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel shall come, and shall build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And then shall assist my people that they may be gathered in, who were created upon the face of this land, even to the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and also I will be in the midst of them, and then shall the work of the Father commence at that day. Even this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. Verily I say unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among the dispersed of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work of the which shall commence among all the dispersed of my people, and with the Father to prepare a way whereby they may come unto me, and that they shall call on the Father in my name." It says that the house of Israel is going to be among us before they go through like a lion among sheep. And it's true that we are almost to make Spanish the national language, in some areas at least, and they are among us. And right now our government is trying to stop a lot of what they call illegal aliens from coming into our land. I really don't see anything wrong with requiring people coming in that they don't adhere to the laws of our land. You know, I'm quite troubled it's not just the house of Israel's coming in, but all kinds of people are coming in. And as I understand and read what I do read, I'm told that some of the Orientals or maybe not the Orientals, but the Arabian type people, Indian or whatever, are asking the government to let them live by the Sharia law. They don't have to live by our law in the United States. And I'm sure that if we was to go into their land, we would expect it to be obedient to their laws, since that's their land. And I see no reason why we can't require them to live by our laws when they live here. I think it's only right that they should. I've heard some conversation about, the Sharia law is one of the reasons for the many atrocities that are taking place from place to place, of the killings in schools and recreational places and like such as this. Even the 9/11 was caused by those same people, so I understand. And yet, we still are willing to give them what they asked for. But that's not what's being spoken here in Isaiah. He's speaking to the house of Israel. And he had given his land to the seed of Joseph and to the Gentiles who humble themselves will be numbered with them. I would like to read to you a little writing that I have here. 97 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this world the old gospel, conceived in Revelation. And dedicated to the purpose for which Christ taught. We're always engaged in a great conflict against evil, because that evil, so conceived and so dedicated, must endure. We are met together on a great battlefield of that conflict. We have come to bring to remembrance the things which the brave men who have lived long ago bear record of. It is altogether fitting and proper that we do this. But let us remember that we cannot change. We cannot misconstrue this record. The divinely directed men of long ago who have struggled here for this cause have bore record far above our poor power to add or to detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they stood for. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which those who have fought before us have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that these great disciples we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these men shall not have died in vain, but that this gospel of God, which has had a new birth, and that this ministry of Christ by God for the people shall not perish from the earth. That is our responsibility, that we remember those who have struggled before us. Though they might have made mistakes, they did struggle. And it's for us to carry that gospel on until God will bring about the condition in Isaiah 61, when he shall reclaim the house of Israel as his people. He'll bring them in from the four corners of the earth to dwell in their own land. As Gentiles, we have a great promise. You know, I read in my encyclopedia some time ago that when the pilgrims came here in whatever year it was now, I forget, but they felt like they was going to start, or they was going to build a new Jerusalem. And I presume that they felt like they failed in that. But little did they know that what they brought on this land, the possibility and the provisions whereby it can happen and will happen. So let us take our responsibility with seriousness and with hope, with courage. Let us remember what is said there in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. When they go to the Lord, they go with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Not to find advantage of others, but to give them peace, comfort, and provide their needs. To seek the Lord with a pure heart, a broken heart, and a contrite spirit. For this is the only way that we can find the peace and the happiness and the joy and be able to see the conclusion of the things that are taking place today in the earth. I'll leave you with these thoughts, hoping and praying that God will indeed will bless us with that attitude. We do not know how many days we have left. Some of us, very few. Some of us, a great number. But that God knows, and it's for each of us to take to our part with all the efforts and the strength that God can give us. I'll leave you with these thoughts, praying that you will face the year of 2018 with a hope. A hope of joy, a hope of protection, and a hope of courage. May God bless you all.